you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence.
So kind.
always chasing, always pursuing us. Your unfathomable, never-ending love, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Just acknowledge the Lord right now. Tell him how good he is. His love is so overwhelming. It's never-ending. He will knock down every wall, every lie, everything that sets itself up against him. He will knock it down. He will keep pursuing you. He will keep knocking on the door until we answer. His love is that great. His love is that overwhelming. His love is that reckless, that it is unfathomable to us, and we don't understand. Because his love is that great. He loves us that much. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just worship him. He's here. He is here. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I worship you. church.
My God, that is who you are.
Make it a declaration, Waymaker.
You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
One time you are,
you are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are, that's who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are, that's who you are. Oh, that's who you are.
If you need a miracle worker, if you need a promise keeper, if you need light in the darkness, then it's God. It's Jesus. He is your way maker. He will make a way where there is no other way. If you need a miracle, when things are impossible for man, all things are possible with God. Promise keeper. He said that he would never leave us. He said he would never forsake us. That's a promise. He's a light in the darkness. He said he's the light of the world. He's the light of the world. That's God. That's our God. That's your God. He's not just some big person in the sky. He is a person that is walking beside you day by day through everything that you're going through. Whether it's a good day or a bad day or a crummy day or an okay day or a fantastic day, he is walking beside you. So Jess, I want you to sing this again. He's your way maker. He is your miracle worker. He is your promise keeper. And he is your light in the darkness. When darkness wants to overshadow us, he comes in with his light. He says, follow me. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Yes, the author and finisher of your faith. So sing it. Sing it like you mean it.
Miracle
worker. Like you believe it.
Promise keeper.
Thank you.
pacing at the back before I came up.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was just looking over everyone, and what came to me is this. I don't need to conjure up anything that sounds really spiritual and have a good prayer and all that stuff. Everyone in this room has a different story. Everyone in this room has a different history and background and is at a different place with God. Maybe has been to this church once or 1,000 times. But in the midst of all of that, He knows you. He loves you.
Yes.
He's pursuing you. And whether you feel 1,000 miles away or right next, it's not up to me to decide. It's not up to me to try to conjure something that sounds good. But in the midst of it, He knows. And He loves you. And there's something that He wants to say to you this morning. That's yes. What I know. I know nothing else at this moment. And as Tammy speaks, it's just so perfectly in line with what I'm feeling, is that He is the one who makes a way for us, whether we're feeling good or at the bottom.
Yes, thank you.
He's the one who brings us peace and love and truth.
Yes.
Beyond what anything else in this world can. Lord, this morning we look to You for our answer.
Thank you, Jesus.
We look to You to speak truth and guidance into our lives.
Yes.
God, as Greg comes this morning, we just pray such clarity over his mind and his heart and his spirit this morning for what You've put there for him to share this morning. That each of us in this room would receive exactly what we're meant to this morning. We thank You for another morning that we get to gather in Your presence and with each other in this church family. And we ask that You have Your way. That it's not our agenda, it's not what we do, it's not what we plan and we put together, but it's Your Spirit at work in our midst that does it, that produces the fruit.
Thank You.
We invite You, Holy Spirit, this morning to come and have Your way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Why don't we take up our offering this morning as well? Please and thank you. Man, thank you, worship team. So good. So good. We will have a second offering at the end of the service as well for Greg Swinimer and his ministry specifically, but this is just our general for the church as a whole. So just so you know. Well, welcome to Emerge Church. It is wonderful to have you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm just going to go through a few announcements, and we'll get rolling with our morning. First of all, if you are new with us, we have these belong cards. They're all around the room, and it's just our way of getting to know who you are, helping you get plugged into the life of church here. So if you want to fill one out, we have a box just around the corner and a gift for you as well. So please do so. We've also got these two praise cards and prayer cards. And so for the next couple of weeks, we want to hear what God's been doing in your life, maybe what He's done in 2019, just so that we can share together in what God's doing. So these are just around the corner there as well. So make these available to yourself. And the prayer cards is a chance for us to pray for your needs, what's happening in your life, what you're struggling with or believing for breakthrough. And we pray together multiple times a week. And so if you've got anything there, please fill one out and just drop it in the box, and we will make sure we do so. Last time I'm going to mention this, please check your mailboxes before you go today. Any extra Christmas cards that are left after today will be recycled. Right? All right, only two more. We got youth conference coming up February 7th and 8th. There we go. That's not a very descriptive slide. Next Sunday is our cutoff date for registration for students. So that's students grades 7 to 12. It's an overnight conference in Calgary, which I'm very much looking forward to. Cost is $60 for everything, including transportation, food, the conference itself, all that kind of stuff. So if you have any questions about that, let me know. And there's a two-page, like a letter to parents and a registration form just at the back there. So make yourself available to that. And I don't have a slide for it today, but just a heads up, we do have baptism coming up February the 23rd. So if you want to be baptized or it's been something that has been on your heart, please talk to myself or Pastor Todd, and we can have some more conversation about that. Beautiful. Pastor Todd?
Man, I love when people go in the drink. Right there, jump in. Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, so good to have everyone here today. This is a very, very special day because Jesus is here. Come on. That's all we need. That's it. That's all we need. I don't get to see Greg Swinemore enough in a year, but when I do, it's like living water. It's refreshing. And from NLI Eurasia. And he's going to come this morning and share what God is doing way over there. I don't know if it's as cold there as it is here. We had minus 48 this week. And but that was with wind chill. It was plus 7 without wind chill. Very, very cold wind. Anyway, Greg, come on up here. We don't want to take any more of your time. Can we welcome Greg as he comes? Amen. Amen. Came up to the prayer room. And as soon as we met, Spirit of God just said, yes. You ever have one of those where it's just a yes? And we're going to have an offering at the end of the service for the needs that he is going to be communicating. So please make yourself available to that. That would be fantastic. So good to have you. Amen.
It's so good to be here. I just love coming to Sylvan Lake. I feel so at home here, so comfortable here, being with the Sylvan Saints. The Sylvan Saints, that's who you are. And I'm just thrilled with what the Lord is doing. I see some new faces here that I've not seen before, and love the worship this morning. That was awesome. And so good things are happening, and I want to congratulate you on your new name. Yes! What a cool name, Emerge Church. And I think that really speaks of what God wants to do. Like, it's just very prophetic and very telling of what God is going to do. There's going to be a lot of great things emerging here in the coming days. And so I really congratulate you on that. And one thing, I seem to come through about once a year. And I like to just come and say a huge thank you to you for supporting us in our work. You've given towards different projects as well. I think a couple years ago you gave money towards a boiler that helped the guys through the church out there, one of the churches out there, through the Siberian winters. And we still have that. And so I'm very, very grateful for that. And I'm going to present another project to you this morning that you're going to love. So please don't leave before the end of the service. And anyway, it's just an honor to actually to be in the nations, really representing you. I'm as well as being part of NLI, which is our mission. I'm also a PAOC, a global worker, and of course this church is a part of that fellowship. So in fact, the people that we support out in Siberia, they're also connected via the PAOC as well. That's kind of the fellowship we're a part of. Anyway, let me tell you what I've been doing in the last year, because this I've been out there kind of representing you in the nations. And this past year, we've spent a lot of time in previous years working in the nation of Ukraine. And over the last number of years, I've been focused mainly on Russia. But this past year, I had the privilege of going back to Ukraine with my partner in crime there. That's Jim Morris. He's my colleague at NLI. And Jim's been doing a great job in Ukraine. And on this particular trip, it was really amazing because the Lord really reminded us of the very heavy price that was paid for people who lived during the times of communism. I think of that scripture. I think it's in John 4 where Jesus says, don't say 4 more months and then the harvest. But look, the harvest is right. And then he says, you are doing the easy work. Others have done the hard work. And, you know, it's great what God is doing in the former Soviet Union now, but there were many people who gave their lives to follow Jesus Christ. And this memorial here is a memorial that the church there built, one of the churches built, to many of the people just from this church who were killed or imprisoned just because of their faith in Jesus Christ during the times of communism. And so we never think about it. Like, we get up this morning, we come to church, we're free here to worship. We never think what so many in the world, even today, are going through suffering for their faith. And so this brother over on the left here, his name is Pastor Vladimir. Man, I think I need to get a new preaching shirt. What do you think? It's obviously my favorite outfit. That's the Pastor Vladimir. And he actually grew up in a Christian home during the days of communism. And he told us hair-raising stories of just some of the, how he, as a child, even was persecuted and ostracized just because they believed in God. So again, we need to be so grateful for the freedom we have. We did lots of great things out there, did lots of seminars encouraging the saints, talking about advancing the kingdom of God through healing, and visited lots of opportunities to build new churches. This is going to be more than a church, but it's actually going to be a community center in a town. Visited some orphanages. And again, just had the privilege of just sharing the love of Jesus with many, many open hearts in these children. So it's awesome that what God is doing in Ukraine. Ukraine is a real bright spot in Europe. God's done an amazing thing there. Russia, on the other hand, still has a lot of work required. So we're going to go out to Russia now. And of course, I've talked a little bit about this couple in the past. This is Ilya and Janet Bantsev. They pastor a church way out in Siberia in the city of Novokuznetsk, where that red star is. And you can see it's kind of right where the Mongolia, Kazakhstan, China come together, just north of that. And so they've been pastoring there for about 25 years, have raised up an amazing church, a huge drug and alcohol program. In fact, several drug and alcohol programs, one very large one. And all of those yellow stars are some of the churches, just some of the churches that have already been planted. And they have a vision to plant 200 churches. Of course, we're in the church planting business. That's what we do. We help to plant churches. And so we've partnered with Ilya and Janet, and you have partnered with us. Now, 2 years ago, you raised money for a boiler for a building in an area of Novokuznetsk. That's a cool name, isn't it? Novokuznetsk. Let's say that together. Novokuznetsk. Oh, wow, you're speaking very good Russian. Novokuznetsk. And so this is an area of Novokuznetsk called Tichilina. It's a very dark area, spiritually dark, lots of drugs, alcohol, crime. And so this there's a young couple there by the name of Ruslan and Masha, and they've been pastoring a church there, and you helped to, them to provide a boiler for a building that we were renting. There they are there. That's Ruslan and Masha. And that last building you saw, we actually purchased that a little over a year ago so they could have a permanent home and to see the church grow up into Tichilina, but not just to see a church established. They want to see the kingdom of God invade Tichilina. And where there's darkness, we want to see the light of Jesus Christ come and dispel that darkness. And so this is Ruslan and Masha and their little daughter, Stesha. She's my adopted Russian granddaughter, Maya Vnuchka. And just a great family. So this now is inside of the building that you saw on the last slide. We've created a little apartment for them in the in this new building. So now they're living right in Tichilina, where everybody, or while everyone's wanting to move away from Tichilina, they're moving right into the middle of Tichilina. And then, of course, we've created a beautiful space for the church in this building. But what's really cool, again, Ruslan's vision was all about having a life center, having a sports center that the people in Tichilina could come and work out, and we build relationship with them. We've seen people get saved as a result of just visiting the sports center. And so, again, they've done a great job buying lots of used equipment. They love a good deal, and I do too. Я люблю хорошие сделки. I love a good deal. And so they actually have 3 rooms dedicated to the gym. And so they got lots of people now coming from the community. And what else they got? Oh, they run exercise programs called Total Fit. I'll tell you more about Total Fit in just a second. And so they're doing a great job bringing the light of Jesus Christ right into the community. They've got lots of young people. Again, it's intended to be a center of life there. And we've got lots of young people coming. There's just nothing in Tichilina. And people get into a lot of trouble. But now there's a place that they can come and they can have fun there and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And the best part is there's a 2-bay car wash in there. I've talked about this in the past. And it is supporting the church. It's self-sustaining. Isn't that cool? As well as the gym brings in a little bit of income as well. And they've got all kinds of other ideas. They're so creative and so entrepreneurial. And so it's one thing to give a man a fish and feed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime, but you help him buy a fishing boat, and you can bless the whole community. That's kind of our philosophy. You make it self-sustaining. And so you've been a big, big part of that, and I want to say a huge thank you. And so a couple of other, I love working with these church planters out in Russia, because they are just very, very creative and very entrepreneurial. This young couple, they developed a ministry called Total Fit that we talked about earlier. And they had this great idea: how can we use fitness to win people for Jesus? And so they developed this program, rented out some gyms, and they get people coming to the program. It's kind of like a CrossFit. You know, they kind of work them hard, do all these different kind of exercises. And then when they're done, they sit through about a 10 or 15 minute Bible lesson, because it's total fit. It's not just about the body. It's about the body, the soul, and the spirit. And so they teach biblical lessons that have good moral values, etc. But, of course, they preach the gospel as well. And people are coming to Christ through Total Fit. It's just amazing. And so, and they pay. They pay to come and hear the gospel. Amen. Maybe we should start. Maybe that's what we need to do. We just need to start charging. Yeah. They pay to come and hear the gospel. It's amazing. And God is using this program. And so we're believing for the day that they're going to actually have a Total Fit church. Right now they're running it as a part of many churches. Okay, one more story I want to tell you. This is a really, really cool story. When I was out there this past May in Russia, I met this family. This is Dima, Yuliana, and their four children. Now, Dima and Yuliana have been together for 14 years, but they didn't know Jesus. And Dima was a hopeless alcoholic. And so finally, he brought such havoc into their home that Yuliana kicked him out. He was gone. So somehow he ends up in Novokuznetsk, and he meets some of our guys, and he ends up in the Teen Challenge program. They're the drug and alcohol rehab program that is a part of Ilya and Janet's church. So he gets radically saved, spends 2 years in this program, and really gets totally transformed, takes another year and goes through our missionary training program, and he goes back to his town called Novosvet, which means new light. Cool name. And so he goes back, but this time Yuliana doesn't want anything to do with him, because now he's a Christian. It's bad enough when he was a drunk, but now he's a Christian. And so this time she leaves. And so Dima preaches the gospel to his children. They go to a youth camp. They all get saved. And while Yuliana is away, I think she gets together with her sister, who's in another town, who happens to be attending one of the daughter churches of Ilya and Janet, and takes her to the daughter church, and she gets saved. And now the whole family is back together, and they're all one in Christ. It's a complete Christian family now. And when I was there in May, they got married. After having been together for 14 years, they wanted to get God to bless their new relationship in Christ. And the church put on a great big party and celebration for them. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. And so I have a project that I want to present to you today. I think you're going to like this one. You see, Dima, he's really good. He's worked for a guy in Novosvet who has a sawmill. But unfortunately, this guy is not a great businessman. He doesn't pay his employees very well, doesn't treat them very well. And Dima had a dream to start his own sawmill. And so we're going to help him to start a business, a sawmill business. So not only, it's a great business in Russia. I was looking at the numbers. We did a business plan. And I said to one of the guys, I says, is it really this good? He says, yeah, it's a good business in Russia. And so we're believing that that business will not only support Dima and his family, it's going to support a brand new church in Novosvet. And so, again, we can give them money to help them, you know, on a month-to-month basis, but you can't do that for very long. We want to create ways that are self-sustaining, that will support them. And then, of course, they are going to give back into a fund that's going to help others to do exactly the same thing. Isn't that a good idea? I think it's a good idea. And so that's what I'd like to present to you today. To set up this business is going to cost about $9,000 Canadian, which is actually a pretty good deal. And if we could raise even half of that today, oh man, I would be so happy. And so over the course of the rest of the service, if you would just allow the Lord to speak to you in terms of what you might, how you might participate in this project, because we're actually changing communities and ultimately nations through our gifts today. And so I would just appeal to you on Dima and Juliana's behalf, and on behalf of the people in Nova Sviet, that we could just listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do and get behind this project. Would you be willing to do that? Thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to preach in just a moment. Before we do, I've got a little video I want to show you. I had a group of people out in Novokuznetsk in June and July of this year. And one of the things that they, whenever I take visitors out there, they just cannot get over the passion of the people for souls. And so there was a mission conference that they did last year, and they captured some of it. You're going to hear the voice of Pastor Ilya Bantsev, again, who's one of our global workers. And it's in Russian. He's going to be speaking in Russian. You're going to have to read fast because you're going to see what he's praying. But what I want you to capture is the passion that they have for souls in Russia. And I pray that we would capture that same passion for the souls here in Sylvan Lake and in Alberta and in Canada. Amen? Let's run that.
Господь, мы сегодня в присутствии Твоем. И мы ощущаем Твою любовь. Ты так возлюбил каждого из нас. Иисус, слава Тебе, что Ты пришел на миссию сюда, на землю. И Ты поручил нам идти и делать учеников из всех народов. Аллилуйя! Мы славим Тебя, Иисус. Сегодня мы благодарим Тебя, что Ты призвал нас, Ты позвал, и мы пошли, Господь дорогой, слава Тебе, даруй каждому сегодня ощутить вот это состояние срочности, состояние страха Божьего, чтобы, Господи, нам в точности исполнить все, что Ты повелеваешь нам. Благослови нас, Боже мой, и не дай нам, Господи, где-то застрять, не дай нам успокоиться, Господи, но производи в нас свои хотения и действия по воле Своей. Я молю Тебя, Дух Святой, сегодня, сейчас производи свою работу и даруй народу Твоему упорство и неотступность. Господь, чтобы никакие трудности, никакие проблемы нас не остановили, Господь дорогой. Я прошу Тебя, говори сегодня сердцу многих людей. Говори, Господь дорогой, я ободряю, Боже мой, Дух Святой, совершай свою работу в сердце народа Твоего. Сердце тех, которые сегодня посвятили себя служению, благовестию, служению миссионерству. Аллилуйя.
Sense the passion? We're going to be starting a mission school in just about 1 month, actually less than a month's time. And we're believing, we've got, I think, 13 to 15 people already signed up. We're believing for 20 church planters, people who are going to come to a full-time residential school, be ready to go out and start new churches. And this particular school is actually going to have a focus on reaching Muslims for Christ as well. So there'll be some training on that, as there's a number of Muslim regions in that area. And so it's just a thrill to work with Pastor Ilya and Janet and to support their work. And you have a big part in that. And I want to say a huge thank you. A huge thank you. In fact, why don't you give yourself a hand? Come on. Well done. Malatsi. That means well done. Well done. Okay. I have kind of an unusual message for you today. Normally when I come, I try to really, go with kind of exciting, rah-rah messages. And this one, well, hopefully there'll be a little bit of that. But it's actually a message about unity. And I got to say, I was strongly led of the Lord, I felt a very strong impression that I was to bring this message to you today. And there's no particular reason why. I haven't been talking to your pastor. As far as I know, there's no problems. Everything's cool. Everything's, in fact, perfect. And so I'm not here to address any issues. I just felt a led of the Lord to bring this message. In fact, for me, this is a bit of a core message or a life message. In fact, it was about 4 years ago. I was in Crimea about 2 or 3 months before all of the trouble happened there, where all of the fighting happened out in eastern Ukraine, and basically Russia annexed Crimea. And I brought this message to the church out there. Again, had no idea that there was going to be any issues. And, of course, they went through tremendous, tremendous hardship during that whole time. And I'm sure that it was a word of the Lord to them. Now, I'm not expecting that you guys are going to be going through any hardship or anything like that. Although 2020 could throw a few surprises at us. I think there's just all kinds of stuff going on in the world right now that as a church, we just need to walk circumspectly before the Lord. And as a church, we need to be one. We need to be one. And so it's a bit of an unusual message for a Mission Sunday, except it's not. As you're going to see in just a moment, actually there's a huge missional component to us being one in Christ. This subject of unity was hugely important, is hugely important to Jesus. In fact, before he went to the crucifixion, the very last prayer that is recorded that he prayed is found in John chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, you can look there. It'll come up on the screen as well, or part of the scripture. I'll read a little bit more. Jesus is praying for you and I. And he says, my prayer is not for the disciples alone. I pray also for all of those who will believe in me through their message. That's you and me. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. 4 times in that one passage, Jesus appeals to the Father, Lord, make them one as you and I are one. And twice he says, so that the whole world will know that you sent me. So that the whole world will know that you sent me. I love missions projects and evangelism projects and crusades and all that. But you know, our most important witness to the world is our unity. That's the most important thing that we have to demonstrate to the world that Jesus Christ really is who he claimed to be and that God sent him. It was said of the early church in the Roman culture, look how they love each other. It was such an unusual thing for this group of people, this group of Christians to love each other. I mean, they sold their possessions and they gave to each other as people had need. And even in the prayer room this morning, I was reminded, it was like the Holy Spirit just reminded me, on the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one accord. They're all together in one mind, the same spirit, the same heart. And what happened? God poured out his spirit. God poured out his spirit. Now, I just want to commend you and bless you because I visit lots of churches. I speak in lots of different churches. And what you have here is very, very special. And I'm not just saying that. I really mean that. And your pastor's not paying me to do this, but you have an amazing pastor, and Pastor Todd and Tammy, amazing. Absolutely. In fact, honor them, honor them. You guys are awesome. You've got mature leaders who are hungry for the Holy Spirit and know how to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is unusual these days. That is unusual. And you need to cherish that. And the scripture says you actually, in Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about the fact that we need to obey our leaders, come under their authority, and make their work a joy and not a burden. I know that God is going to do something here. Again, that word emerge church. Every time I come in this place, I see in the spirit this fountain, these living waters just bubbling. I prophesy it. Every time I come in, I see it. I see it. And I've said to Pastor Todd, I don't think it's going to come like a great big bursting thing. I think it's going to be just this incredible rising tide, which is great. It's fantastic. But you've got leadership who understands how God moves and how his spirit moves and is not afraid of that and is wanting to bring us all right into that. That is awesome. You're blessed. You're blessed. But you need to be one in the spirit. God loves unity. He absolutely loves unity. He loves it. In Psalm 133, verse 1, it says how good and pleasant it is when brothers live together, brothers and sisters live together in unity. In the New Testament, Paul is writing by the Spirit. He says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in purpose. Make my joy complete. That's God speaking through him. Make his joy complete. Make his joy complete. And Ephesians 4:3, this is kind of our text for the day. In fact, I want you to memorize this. This is your homework assignment, okay? Ephesians 4, it's really, really simple. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's say that together. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So what's that word, spoudazo? Well, that word, spoudazo, is what's translated, make every effort. Spoudazzo. My Greek was never very good, so I think I'm saying it right. Spoudazzo. When I say it, it sounds like an Italian dish. Hey, pass it a spoudazzo. Would you like a little more spoudazzo? Spoudazzo. Make every effort. Here's what it means. It means to be diligent, to be earnest, to tackle with zeal, to do the utmost, to make every effort. Spoudazzo. Spoudazzo. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, spoudazzo. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now the other side. Spoudazzo. Come on now. I want to hear you. Spoudazzo. 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 That's right. A little spoudazzo over here. Now you probably noticed that this whole unity thing, it doesn't just happen. And it actually requires our effort and us being a part of that. In fact, Jesus understood that. He knows who we are. And that's why so much of the New Testament is dedicated to interpersonal relationships as believers. We call it the one another's of the Scriptures. Love one another. Love one another. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. Have patience with one another. Have grace for one another. It just goes on and on. Be gentle to one another. Be kind to one another. Forgive one another. All of these one another's of the Scripture are really just helping us to understand how serious God is about this whole theme of unity, that he wants his body to be united. And again, I say it again, it was on the day of Pentecost. They were all together in one accord, and then the Holy Spirit came. Then the Holy Spirit came. And I believe he wants to do it again and again and again. Well, I've learned a few things about this whole subject of unity over the years, and I have a few practical thoughts I'd like to throw out to you today. I mean, I could just stop the sermon right here and say that's enough, but I want to give you a few practical thoughts on how we can actually spoudazzo, how we can make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So let me ask you a question. Has anyone here ever experienced conflict in your life? Let me just see your hand if you have. Okay. Has anyone here not ever experienced conflict? Let me see your hand. If you have never experienced conflict, check your pulse because you're probably not alive. So the first thing we need to do is embrace conflict. It's unfortunately, it's an unavoidable part of life. I have to reluctantly admit that because I don't like conflict. I kind of shy away from conflict, but over the years I've learned that I need to embrace conflict. And obviously we don't have time today to kind of get into great depths. This is not a conflict resolution seminar, but just I think the thing I would say today is learn how to deal with conflict. There's books out there, there's seminars. I'm sure Pastor Todd has got a great seminar on dealing with conflict. And sometimes it happens in marriage. Go to a marriage seminar and learn how to get rid of conflict or how to have proper conflict in our marriage. Learn how to deal with conflict. Some of the things I've learned about conflict is people respond to conflict in incredibly different ways. I mean, there are some that just love conflict. It's like a game for them. It's just about winning. And I go, oh, man, those are not my favorite people. And other people who are really, really sensitive about conflict. Like, you say something, you know, that's just a little bit corrective, and it's like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe you've stabbed me in the heart. And, like, they're just a complete overreaction. And so we actually need to learn how to deal with people on both ends of the spectrum. Conflict can be a positive thing in our lives. We've heard the scripture that says iron sharpens iron. And not all conflict is bad. Sometimes there's good conflict that can actually help us to, if we are attentive and we listen to what the Holy Spirit may be saying, there is good conflict that can make us better people and stronger Christians. And then, of course, there's that negative conflict, which is sometimes it's just a way stronger response that we get than we should have, and we simply need to learn how to diffuse that. Again, it's all about learning. My wife has worked in the government in the UK for a number of years, and I'm always amazed, like some of the terminology and the words that she has learned, which are very, very creative for diffusing conflict. It's like, I don't know if you've ever heard that expression where someone can tell you to go to hell in such a nice way that you actually look forward to the trip. I mean, we can actually learn ways on how to deal with difficult people and conflict. So I don't have a lot more to say on that other than I challenge you to learn. Here's one thing one piece of advice I can offer in dealing with conflict. And this seems to work really, really well. I remember Stephen Covey wrote a book called Seven Habits, and one of the items was seek first to understand. And that's a good thing. You know, when you're in conflict, if you actually try to understand where that other person is coming from, put yourself in their place, sometimes it really does help to diffuse a conflict. We're not just arguing our corner, but we actually try to understand where they're coming from. We put ourselves in their place. We don't jump to conclusions. We get all the facts before we draw conclusions. And we think the best of people. That's something we choose to do. I think the best of you, regardless of even if you're injuring me right now. So all of that is about making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. All of that is about spudazzo. Let's have a little spudazzo. Who would like some spudazzo? It's very tasty, especially with a little bit of salt and pepper. All right. The other thing that we learn, I may have missed a scripture there, is choose carefully the hill. Oh, here we are. Choose carefully the hill you're willing to die on. Okay? What do you mean by that, Greg? The hill you're willing to die on? Well, it's kind of a battle analogy that goes back to the probably to the ages of you know, when they were fighting with muskets and swords, and basically the one who would have the upper ground kind of had the advantage. And so when you were attacking, you were always at a disadvantage. And so you had to, every good commander would only choose those battles that he really felt he could win. And he knew, of course, that people were going to die in the process. And so he had to be very, very strategic in choosing which battles he was going to fight, which hills they were going to fight on, which hills they were willing to die on. Okay? And so when we think about that in terms of some of the different issues that people get involved in, you see people fighting over sometimes silly little things. And people just seem to want to die on just every hill that's out there. It doesn't make any sense. I heard a funny story many years ago, and it was about a church in the United States, a good Bible preaching fundamentalist church, and they preached the Word of God. The church was growing. People were getting saved. The building was getting packed out, and so they decided that they were going to expand the building. They did a building program. I think they even got through the building program without, you know, too much trouble. That can always tear a church apart. And so someone asked the pastor of the board if they could paint in the new foyer that very famous picture of, I don't know if it's Michelangelo, of creation where God is reaching out to Adam. It's on the top of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And so they painted it exactly like it was in the Sistine Chapel. There was only one problem. In the original painting, Adam has a navel. He has a belly button. And so they painted him with a belly button. Well, this great debate emerged because this was a Bible-believing church, and they didn't believe in the whole evolution thing, and Adam did not come the same way that other people came. He would not have had an umbilical cord, therefore he would have not had a navel or a belly button. And so you ended up with this big fight going on, and there was the belly button camp saying that Adam did not have a belly button. And then the other camp that said, well, come on, you guys are being ridiculous. There was it's just the same painting that's in the chapel. And besides, God surely would have given him a belly button. He would have looked funny without a belly button. So this great fight broke out between these two groups, and they split the church over this theological issue of whether Adam had a belly button. So they split the church over what was purported to be a very fundamental theological issue, but they violated the most highest principle of all, that you be one, that the Father and I are one, so that the whole world knows that God sent the Son. And so I tried to find where that actually took place. And so I don't know if it's actually a true story or if it's something that has almost kind of taken on mythological proportions, but it does make the point. It does make the point that sometimes we major over minor things instead of sitting back and going, you know what, I just need to surrender my opinion on this for the sake of unity. I need to just lay down my opinion on this matter. It's not a life-threatening, earth-shattering, core theological issue. And the highest calling of all is spudazzo, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And of course, we've seen, I mean, this has happened all throughout church history. Churches have split over the most ridiculous things. Whether that's a true story or not, I don't know, but I do know that there are churches who have split over ridiculous things like the colors of the walls in the sanctuary or the type of seats in the sanctuary, and you go like, guys, grab a brain. You're fighting over silly little things and violating one of the most important laws of all, of maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so Paul knew that this was going to be an issue. He dealt with it even in the Corinthian church. There was all kinds of groups that were saying, oh, I like this preacher and I like that preacher. And Paul appeals to them. He says, I appeal to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that all of you agree with one another so that there will be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Perfectly united in mind and thought. Oh, I don't like that song they did this morning. Just lay down your opinions. Oh, that drummer guy, he was a little bit too too loud for this. More, I love that drummer, by the way. In fact, I love the whole worship band. We make mountains out of molehills. We really do. And we're willing to die on molehills. I have found in my life there's very, very, very few mountains I'm willing to die on. Very few mountains. That doesn't mean I accept all things. There's our core theological issues, of course, that there's no debate on. But so much of the arguing and fighting that goes on in churches throughout the world is just molehills. It's just silly stuff. It's just about people wanting to have their way and their opinion. As believers, we are love slaves to Jesus Christ. We don't have any rights. We have surrendered our rights. Our sole mission is to follow him and to regard his body and to spoudazzo, to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So sometimes it's about laying down our opinions. Other times it's about laying down our preferences. Sometimes we prefer certain things. Let me tell you a funny story. This actually goes right into the heart of marriage as well. Let me tell you, use my own marriage to illustrate what I'm talking about here. If we go to 1 Corinthians, next slide. This is a famous passage of Scripture, the love chapter. You hear it often read at weddings. And you go like, are you listening to what, you know, you're listening, or you're at a wedding where you kind of wonder how solid this relationship is, and they read this chapter, and you go, guys, are you listening to what's being said? Are you listening? Love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. Love is not rude. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Ooh. It's not self-seeking. I've done enough marriage counseling over the years to know that often the issues are all about people are just selfish. We want our own way. And my wife was like that. No, I'm just kidding. I had a problem. Let me tell you a funny story. So this is several years ago now. We were living in the UK at that time, and the houses there are a little bit smaller than they are here. And so, you know, you just need to put stuff away, right? Otherwise, it's going to feel very, very cluttered. And so. My wife used to complain that I was not putting stuff away. Can you believe it? The woman is so unreasonable. She would complain that I would not put things away, like the toothpaste, you know? And so, I mean, if you leave the top off the toothpaste, it makes it easier for the next guy, right? So she complained and she complained, and we would argue, and finally I thought, okay, I'm gonna show her. She's just a whiner. And so I decided that over a 1 month period, I was going to do everything exactly like she wanted me to do it. So when I got out of the shower, I was going to mop up the water and open the window to get the air in there and hang up the rug. And in fact, I even came up with this acronym called BARTS. So I could remember all the things to do. Put away my stuff, the toothpaste and the shaving cream, and hang up the towel. And I did this diligently every day for almost a month. And when I would do it, I'd actually go to the calendar and I would put a little tick on the calendar. And I thought, the next time she comes and she whines about me not doing stuff, I'm going to grab that calendar. I'm going to wave it in her face. You see, I've been doing it every day, and you haven't even, you're still complaining. There was only one problem. She didn't complain. Took me about 21 days. I built a new habit. And after that, it got to be, sorry, husbands. I apologize. All the ladies are banging their husband now. You listen to him. I'll tell you what, it brought a lot of peace into my marriage, guys. I would say we need to be willing to lay down our preferences. And ladies, the same thing goes for you as well. We need to be willing to lay down our opinions, willing to lay down our preferences. When it comes to life in the church, if we're all going to get along and we're going to walk in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, we're going to have to lay down some of our own ideas and opinions and preferences and be willing to follow. Be willing to follow. God has got amazing things in store. And that may just sound like rhetoric. I don't know, but I'm telling you what, I know it. I know that the redemptive purpose of Sylvan Lake is for it to be a place of refreshing for all of Alberta, and God is going to use this church. You just be in one accord and live in the unity of the Spirit. You spudazzo. Live in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How am I doing for time here? I'm completely lost. It's 12 o'clock. Am I done? Okay, getting close. All right, we're gonna close it down. The final thing we can do is we can pray. Jesus prayed for us to be one as he and the Father are one. So we can also pray that same prayer. In fact, I'm going to pray it right at the end. I'm going to ask him to make this church completely united so he can pour out his Spirit and do all that he wants to do. And we need to just listen to his voice. This whole idea of spudazzoing, making every effort, we just need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. One scripture says, in fact, just go one more. It says, if you're on your way to bring a gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled, and then come and offer your gift. Okay? So even today, as we're talking about this, if you recall, you know, that there's some brother or sister that maybe you're not right with, I'm going to challenge you that sometime this week, if not today, you go to them. This is your homework. You go to them, and you make it right. Unity is not optional. Unity is not optional. I remember one time I had a falling out with a brother, and truly, this guy was really in the wrong at this time. He really was. No, it wasn't a bathroom situation. This guy was in the wrong. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me so loudly, so clearly, Greg, go and apologize to him. Lord, he's in the wrong. Why on earth would I go and apologize to him? That doesn't make any sense. But, you know, he is our Heavenly Father. And I remember telling my children at times, guys, just you apologize to each other. I don't care who's right and who's wrong. You apologize to each other. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. We need to be attentive, and we need to be obedient, radically obedient, to spudazzo, to maintain the unity of the Spirit, in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Finally, there's a story in the Old Testament about this group of people that were building the Tower of Babel, and they said that they were of one language, and they were going to build this great tower that reached into the heavens, and God says, you know, if speaking one language and with one purpose, they can do these things. Nothing will be impossible for them. And so he scattered them and gave them all these different languages. Now, these were evil people. These were unregenerate people who had a plan to do something probably of greater spiritual significance than what we really understand. But the point is, they were operating together in one spirit and one purpose. So if they, this group of evil people, can do something like that, that God says nothing will be impossible for them, how much more? How much more is the church of Jesus Christ that is filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more can we accomplish in Sylvan Lake to see God's kingdom come and to see miracles and signs and wonders and people healed and families restored and to see literally God put Sylvan Lake on the map because of his glory. And in this church, if we spudazzo, if we make every effort to maintain the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for this church, for this people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Father. Yeah, just the worship team, if you'll come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I know, Lord, I know that you've got some incredible things in store. I thank you for Pastor Todd and Tammy. I thank you for bringing them, Lord, and their families. I thank you, Father, for their love for your presence and for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we bless them in that. And Lord, today I pray, Jesus, as you prayed for your church, I pray for this body of believers that you make them one as Jesus, you and the Father are one, so that all of Sylvan Lake would know that you sent, that the Father has sent the Son, that all of Alberta would know that the Father has sent you. Lord, I declare a spirit of unity over this house, so that, Lord, all you want to do in the coming days, nothing will hinder it. Nothing will get in the way, Lord, oh God. Certainly our own opinions and preferences, it will not get in the way. We lay those down in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I just declare a spirit of unity on Emerge Church, and that you will be glorified. You'll be glorified in this church through a people who is one in heart, one in mind, one in purpose, one in spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just before I hand the mic back to Pastor Todd, I just want to say a huge thank you again for joining with us in the work out in Russia, in the former Soviet Union, and today in particular to help this young couple, Dima and Yuliana, to see this little sawmill business, to support their family and also the church in that town and others that are going to be planted as well. So again, just a huge thank you to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, thank you, Lord. Yeah, we're just going to take up the offering right now quickly, and let's not just let this Holy Spirit is settling down over us, and you'll be blessed. Thank you for being a generous people. You'll be blessed. I was really struck this morning by, and I know it wasn't just rhetoric. I know when you said you're actually there. You're giving here actually puts you there. You're actually, we're doing the work. Loosing you, loosing your people. We're actually doing that. We're with you. We're with you. We're in unity. We're in unity. We're unified. We're there. I was caught by that today. We're actually there. And we're united. So, Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, generous people. Can you stand? Can we stand this morning? Jesus wants to do something as we dismiss. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Team, be ready. If Jesus spoke to you this morning about an attitude, about an issue, about trying to win, about that fight, that unsurrendered thing, just agree with someone and get that thing fixed today. Just get it fixed right now. Just break it, get it fixed right now. Unity. Ah, this is good. This is so good. Unity is our weapon, is our fuel. Unity, it's our strength. Said the world, that's what it said in John. It said, the world will be blown away, not that we love them, the world will be blown away because we're loving each other. Not that we're loving them, I mean, that's a given. But we're getting along. We're picking our battles. I know that old counseling line. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Right? in marriage? Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Pick our battles. Let's just give me 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. That's all I ask as we just continue to sing this again. Okay, go. Go, go, go.
Jesus, my heart is yours.
Thank you, Greg.
My heart is yours.
Greg is here to pray. We're here to pray.
Take it all. My life in your hands.
We surrender.
My heart is yours.
We surrender, Lord.
My heart is yours. Take it all. Take it all.
Says that is because people are weary in well-doing. That means worn out doing great things. He says, I implore you, you're doing great. Hang in there. Don't be worn out doing great things. Right? I don't know who that's for. About 75 of us, I would assume. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, I think it's a specific situation where there's a marital conflict, and the spouse, or maybe a spouse who's not even a part of the church, and the believing spouse says, you're just tired because you're not seeing the change in your spouse. And we're going to believe right now that God's going to change that situation. So, Father, whatever that situation is, Lord, I pray even today, Lord, that salvation will visit that home, Lord. Salvation that will visit that situation, that person who has grown tired and weary of trying to love that other person. I pray, Lord, you give them new strength, new light. But today, Lord, oh God, is a day of breakthrough. We declare breakthrough today. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
That was Jesus. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you, church. You're good, good people. The Lord loves you. The Lord enjoys you. He's delighted in you. Have a fantastic day. God bless you. If you want prayer, come on up here and we'll pray for you. Ah, it's so good. So good. Okay, is everybody done?